by music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, my favorite four: John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. John, you first. Something quite marvelous in music begins like this. Where, geographically speaking, are we? You know where we are?
Yeah, I once had this in a quiz question, and I plunged in and said, oh, yes, I know that. That's the Grand Canyon Suite by Ferdy Groffé.
You were wrong, weren't you?
And then, of course, I realized it was actually Othello by... Or Othello.
Yes. Yes, actually, the Shakespeare play starts a street in Venice, but the start of Verdi's Othello is a storm in a cypress port. The conductor there, John, was Barbirolli, but I would love to remind you of the Zeffirelli film, for which, according to the publicity blurb, Lorin Maazel recorded whole sequences at different tempos so as to allow Zeffirelli plenty of leeway in shooting the scenes. Now, I think you may agree that is not the way to set about conducting Verdi's Othello, is it?
Oh, good. Oh.
Almost beyond belief. Well, there we are, Othello. Frank, a change of scene. Hollywood, definitely. But who is singing? It's an unmistakable voice.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its start.
Frank,
it sounds like Nat King Cole on a very, very bad evening.
Yes, that's a good enough answer, because it wasn't Nat King Cole. It was, in fact, Sammy Davis Jr. doing an impression of Nat King Cole. So you get the mark, all right. Ian, this same Sammy Davis record, in which he imitated famous singing stars and film stars, included two film stars that I think you'll know.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, you dirty rat. My romance had its start. Yes, it did.
Well, gee whiz. Because of you, the sun will shine. And the moon and the stars and the house and the car will be mine. Forever and never ever to part.
You got them, Ian?
Yes, sir. James Cagney and Jimmy Stewart on A Good Night.
Yes, exactly. Dennis, Sammy Davis yet again, but can you remember the name of the singer he's imitating here?
I only live for your love and your kiss. And it's really paradise to be near you like.
You know the name?
Yes, I associated with a song called There I've Said It Again. Yeah. Actually, it's Vaughan Monroe.
Vaughan Monroe, kind of, yeah.
Built-in echo chamber in his trousers or something. It always kind of vibrated like that, didn't
you,
it?
You had Sammy Davis as your guest on a TV program, didn't you?
Yes, he said beforehand, he's an extraordinary man because he really is the entertainer. He would, if necessary, cut his jugular vein if it was the only way to get a response from the audience. Because he came on and he said beforehand, whatever happens, I'm not going to dance. He said, I've given it up. I'm trying to cut down the dancing. It was a program where we played a lot of film clips, and I played that wonderful thing of James Cagney in Yankee Doodle Dandy, where he does that strange dance where he runs up the wall. And Sammy Davis simply got up after. He was so enthusiastic, he ran up the wall of the studio. Because it was the only way to top James Cagney.
Gotta do it. Yeah. Fantastic, that, yeah. There's some information in this next round, and some advice as well from one of the four. John, information, please. You've heard of the seven C's. On my piano here, there are eight C's. Here they are. Don't think much of that last one, actually. John, you're a pianist. Without looking, where, in relation to middle C, is the loud pedal?
I should say it's between the middle C and the next C.
Yes, round about G or A.
Yeah.
Would you like to say something about the use of the expression loud pedal?
Well, the expression loud pedal went out very early, but it was, in fact, called a pedal forte,
yeah,
at one time, I believe, in I suppose, Mozart's day, really.
Because it doesn't make the music any louder, does it?
No, it just seems louder because it stays, it's sostenuto, it
sustains.
It sustains,
that's right, exactly. It's the sustaining pedal. Frank, a question for you about cathedral music. Where will I learn, Frank, about John Jasper, music and choir master at Cloisterham Cathedral?
Yes.
Good.
The Dictionary of National Biography.
I don't think I will, you know.
Or Matthew's Dictionary of Fictional Characters.
Ah, now you've got it's between one of those two.
Yes, now take your pick, take your time. Good luck to you.
Cloisterham, based on Rochester in your county of birth. Cloisterham. Any idea?
Rochester.
Yeah.
Kent?
Yeah.
Good. You're in good form.
Dickens.
Yes. So, thank you.
Yeah, he was the gloomy lad, wasn't he?
Yeah,
who committed nevucide, or might have done.
That's
believed to have topped Edwin Drood.
That's right. He is John Jasper of Cloisterham Cathedral is in the Mystery of Edwin Drood. Cloisterham, as I say, based on Rochester, and I think you've got a mark. Ian, I said something about advice, and it's going to get you a mark. The advice is going to be from you to every singer listening, please. When you feel your voice seizing up, perhaps in the flu season or with a summer cold, what do you do?
Panic. and wonder how you're going to get to the end, and you're actually, while you're still singing, you're rehearsing what you are going to say by way of getting gracefully off the stage. But if you get it in the morning, there are various things you can do. One is to ring your agent and say, I shan't be singing tonight, which is probably the most sensible thing. Certainly, if you've got something like tracheitis, you should just give in and bow to force majeure. But there are other things you can do. You can gargle with a little vinegar. You can, on some occasions, you can actually inhale with a very small amount of camphorated oil in boiling water, which sounds very drastic, but if it's merely a question of sort of clearing congestion, that will help. Also, quinine and water, again, ask your doctor, don't take this from me, to get the right quantity, but if it's a relaxed throat, that will tend to sort of tighten things
with
up.
With gin and a bit of ice.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it.
Dennis, on a completely different subject, when we finish one of these shows, I often feel like playing with a tambouli. How exactly do I accomplish that? Tambouli.
Exquisitely.
I do. I
remember Thomas Beecham once said to me, have you ever seen Steve playing with his tambouli? He sends it further into the air than any man. I don't know. It must be some kind of esoteric Turkish instrument.
Well, you have sacrificed a mark, I'm happy to say.
Yes.
I play with a tambouli with a fork. It's a form of Greek hors d'oeuvre. And it's made from crushed wheat grains and parsley and mint and lemon and things and bound with tahini. One day, I suppose, I shall swing round to the piano keyboard and find myself eyeball to eyeball with what's known then as a musical instrument digital interface. But until that happy day, it's still a piano, I find. Here are four tunes for John and Frank to name, and four for Ian and Dennis in the piano medley. Did you get the first one, John? Are you listening?
Wasn't it K-488, Mozart A major piano concerto?
No, it wasn't K-488. It was K-622, which is...
K-622, the clarinet concerto.
Clarinet concerto, we'll give you that.
Clarinet concerto. And
then, same key.
Yes.
I thought the clarinet was a C.
Oh, not at all, was it? Frank, did you get... Yes.
Butterflies in the Rain.
Yeah, thank you. Butterflies in the Rain, yes. And then John.
That's the overture that always makes the audience stand up if they think they're going to hear God Save the King, because the side drum goes...
That's right.
That's right. Gazzaladra, the thieving magpie, Rossini.
Rossini, thank you. And a little bit of Frank...
Da, 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 da.
Come on, then.
I don't know.
Oh. No,
of course.
Yes, it does, but...
And he's got to watch, of course.
And if you want to know the time...
Someone ask a policeman. Okay.
curious key, though.
There were two, several of them are. They're all in a curious key, except the Mozart, which put me in A major, actually. Ian.
Coronation Scott.
Thank you, by Vivian Ellis. And then...
Oklahoma.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And then...
The Turkish Rondo of Mozart.
Thank you. And... When
the guards are on parade.
Yes. Let us spend a minute or two with my favourite film. That horn counter melody always destroys me. I think that's a fabulous bit of arranging. John, if I play you the introduction to the title song of the film, do you think you can manage, please, the name of the film? Hot crescendo and...
I'm singing in the rain.
Thank you. Yes.
That's... I'm cleaning my glasses because Frank threw water over me.
He was giving you a clue, wasn't he? Frank, not far from the start of the film...
All I do is dream of you the whole night through. With the dawn still go on dreaming of you. You're every thought, you're everything, you're every song I ever sing. Summer, winter, autumn, and spring.
All those... Minnie Mouse tap shoes.
Yes, that's it. Who is about to burst out of a cage?
His current girlfriend.
Well, she wasn't yet, was she?
It wasn't President's wife, was it? It was Debbie Reynolds. Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds, yes. She was a chorus girl from the Coconut Grove in a cabaret. Right. Ian, this is the verse of a song. You might like to sing it with me afterwards. Anyway, how does the refrain begin?
Life was a song, you came along, I've laid awake the whole night through. If I but dared to think you cared, this is what I'd say.
Were meant for
for me.
Yeah, that's the one, yes. You were meant
and
for
I me. Oh, was meant for you. Righto, right. I won't.
Danger!
Yeah. We were saying here, this side of the house, Gene Kelly's voice. It was smoky, and he couldn't sing, and it's marvellous.
Yeah, absolutely lovely. With a voice like that, you just have to persuade yourself you can sing, and then you can. Mm.
Thank you for that advice. Yeah.
I think gargle with vinegar, I think. Dennis, even if the rest of that film weren't so marvellous, it would be remembered for the famous Donald O'Connor routine. Can you offer the missing last line?
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one, they'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Now you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat.
But slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Be a clown. I see.
That's it.
But make them laugh is exactly the same tune as be a clown. Be a clown.
Not quite.
Why did Cole Porter write two tunes with two songs with exactly the same tune, and why did nobody ever say anything to it?
They're not the same tune. They're the same rhythms and the same idea, and they're not both by Cole Porter. They're ones by Roger Edens. Make them laugh.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, yes.
But apart from that, your story is absolutely correct.
Apart from that, I think with a good lawyer, I could get away with it.
Some questions based on the words of songs. John, bearing in mind a certain Jerome Kern song, what is it that cannot be denied? You got it.
Cannot be denied.
Something inside.
Something here inside cannot be denied. Smoke gets in your eyes.
I got a song thing right.
It's like a burp, isn't it? Something here inside cannot be denied.
Yes. Frank, when you don't, I really burn. When you don't, what?
When you don't, I really burn. Burn.
It's a tricky one, this. It's an old song you probably haven't heard for 25 years.
Nat King Cole. Same we would.
Don't think so. No, can I give you
the fire?
I'll play the start at the start of the tune. Don't know, do you? It's undecided. And you promise to return when you don't, I really burn. It's called undecided.
I didn't know the words.
Ian, I think I heard him say that on a rainy day, who would do what, Ian?
Oh, yes. That takes me back a long way. This is Lord Mount Ararat in Ireland. Yeah. I think I heard him say that on a rainy day, to while the time away, on her he'd call.
Absolutely, that's right. Lord
and
Lord
causing Mount tremendous Ararat. Distress to poor Phyllis, who is engaged to Strephon, who is half fairy and half man, and she thinks that they're telling her that he's been seen with another young girl. But of course, it's not; it's his mother who still looks 17, and it's very very distressing for the poor girl.
Very distressing. Yes.
I like those neo realist.
Dennis, still with the words of songs, I'll hold out my hand. That's not from Hold Your Hand Out, Naughty Boy, but it's from something else. I'll hold out my hand.
Can you play it, please? Lovely weekend. And I'll hold out my hand. Oh, yes, we won't say goodbye until the last minute. I'll hold out my hand and my heart will be in it. For all we know.
Yeah, for all we know.
Yeah,
that's right. Anyone in the audience like to shout out a song that mentions Leeds?
The dog song.
That you're going to sing Leeds Kindly Light, but it doesn't work.
Leeds
Liverpool, Leeds, or London Town. Well, I don't care. Blighty. Nah, no marks for the audience. My chaps up here on the stage, will you write down, please, the initial letters C-F-A-D? C-F-A-D. You know from past experience what sort of thing I'm going to ask you. Fact is, I'm learning to play a new instrument, which is new to me anyway. It's the Greek bouzouki, for which I have an irrational passion, which must be deep in the blood, I think. The bouzouki has 8 courses of strings, which are tuned to 4 notes. C-F-A-D. But how am I to remember these tuning notes? Obviously, I need a mnemonic. You know, you learn the bass clef. A cow eats grass. A-C-E-G. Well, I want a mnemonic, please, for C-F-A-D. And I'd like one from John. Have you any ideas yet?
Callas finds Athens dreary.
Splendidly in character, yes. Callas finds Athens dreary. Frank, your writing?
He wants me some very easily remembered phrase.
Yes, of course, must be.
I think Clementina Farfatuck abominates didgeridoos.
I must remember that. Ian.
Caveman flautist aggravates dinosaur.
And Dennis, please, C-F-A-D.
And you have a problem? Call Frank and Dennis.
If I may use an unparliamentary expression, that's a cheat. It would be nice and tidy to say that these 4 final songs have a sort of theme or a link of some sort, but they don't. For instance, John's song is from a very serious opera, while Dennis's song is not. And fore and aft, we have an old music hall song from Frank, and Ian revives a number made famous by the Ink Spots. First, then, Frank meets his doom at Trinity Church.
She told me her age was 25, cash in the bank. She said she plenty, I like a lamb, believed it all. I was an M.U.G. at Trinity Church, I met me doom. Now we live in a top back room. Up to me eyes in debt aplenty, that's what she's done for me.
John, can you introduce your opera excerpt?
Yes, there was an opera produced, I guess, in the 50s at Covent Garden by Sir Arthur Bliss. Libretto by J.B. Priestley. Music by Sir Arthur Bliss. And there was one number in it which I thought was so nice. I don't know why sopranos didn't sing it, you know, take it out of the opera. But still, no sopranos have come forward, so I'm going to have a bash myself.
I've just miscomposed myself because it's rather a long trip from Oh Bitter, Bitter is the Beauty of This Night to a song called Our Claire Has Clicked Again. Clara's clicked again. Clara's clicked again. She's been left in the lurch by a soldier and a sailor. She's been dumped in the dirt by a 50-shilling tailor. Oh, but now Clara's clicked again. She found him out in Spain. Though she's not been loved for months, she was county champion once. Our Claire has clicked again.
I mentioned the Ink Spots and the great hit they had in 1939. Remember that high lead singer, the one with the marvellous diction? Well, we brought his song down a couple of octaves. Here's Ian with If I Didn't Care.
If I didn't care more than words can say, if I didn't care, would I feel this way? If this isn't love, then maybe I'm wrong. But why do I lie awake all night and dream all day long? If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
Talking of the Ink Spots, I was told that at one time in the 1950s there were 17 different quartets called the Ink Spots, all touring America, and all claiming to be the original group. Our original foursome has been in quiz contention a bit earlier on, as you may recall. It's led to a victory this week for nobody. It's a tie. Goodbye.
Music with John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkin.